The idea that the President of the United States says he's entitled to 5 seats should sicken everybody. There's nothing normal about that, and anyone who says it's not surprising is normalizing it. That's shocking.
Well, I guess you would say that many of us Americans on the other side of the mountains believe that what's been happening in our country is sickening and shocking. And we don't find that shocking. There's nothing wrong with the president pointing out that the 2020 census was flawed. It was horribly flawed. And because of that, that affected the Electoral College. It affected the number of congressmen in various states, all of them red. But the undercounting happened in all the red states, and the overcounting happened in blue states. Go figure. I find that shocking and a little bit nauseating. I should have a conversation with Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to talk to him about that. But we're going to talk about this today because President Trump is calling for a new census. Is he doing this just for political reasons? Is he just grabbing power? Not really. He's trying to set the ship right on all kinds of things, voting problems that the Democrats have caused for decades. It's a serious problem, and it affects our elections. It affects our future. It affects our finances. They've been counting illegal immigrants now since Barack Obama instituted that. That we've never done that before. They wouldn't allow a question on the census to ask about citizenship. Are you a citizen? They went to court over that, and the court decided, no, you can't have that question on the census. That's how bad it is. So we are riding the ship. President Trump is leading the charge, and we're going to be talking about that, about all those Texans, you know, fleeing their state and going up to Chicago and now in California. What's that all about? Is it legal? Can they be sued? Can they lose their seats? Well, that's the stuff we're talking about today. Hans von Spakovsky will be joining me. He knows all things election. And so it's a really good discussion, and I hope you'll stay tuned. Well, you know, abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the 5th consecutive year. And despite the overturn of Roe versus Wade, it's a greater number of deaths than before Roe versus Wade was overturned. It's just amazing. I think that's because of the abortion pill, which we've talked about. And that's something we have to tackle. I don't think the administration has tackled that yet, to my knowledge. But I hope and pray he will, because over 60% of all abortions happen because of that horrible abortion pill that women and girls can order, take it in their home, abort their babies in their toilet. It's a horrendous process. And so that's where preborn comes in, because preborn actually has had a lot of experience with these women in the process of aborting. A lot of them are young girls. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't realize that this is going to happen to them. They've been sold a bill of goods. It's easy. Just take a pill. Take 2 pills and, you know, come in and see us. Well, they've been bringing their dead babies into the preborn clinics, totally upset, because it's just not natural. And that's why when preborn shows them before they do this an image of their baby in their womb, moving, sucking their thumb, having the hiccups, whatever they're doing, girls just say to themselves, "Moms, I can't terminate that life." And that's how it rolls. That's how they do it. And so if you would like to help preborn, I just want you to understand what a significant thing they do and how important their work. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040, and the US is Sandy Rios 24/7. That's the US. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform, for better or for worse. But also, I usually engage on Twitter, just so you know. A lot of the platforms I'm not personally interacting, but I've got some wonderful people that are doing that and posting the show and other things. But if you want to hear what I'm thinking in a given moment, go to @SandyRiosTweet. That's my Twitter handle for Twitter, @SandyRiosTweet. You can find us on any podcast platform. AFR.net is home base for American Family Radio listeners. And that's very familiar. But if you use Spotify or Amazon or Apple, you can do that. You can find Sandy Rios 24/7 there. So also you can go to my website, sandyrios.com. That's really simple. If you're not used to podcasting, you can go there and listen to the show every single day. So, hey, listen, I appreciate you listening. And today I think you're going to learn a lot of things. I did as I was talking with Hans on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Yeah, so another crazy thing that I had no idea about, but everybody, even Democrats actually admit this, that the census in 2020 had a major statistical error. And what that meant is that you actually undercounted a few states that are Republican, like Florida and Ohio. You overcounted some blue states. And so what I understand, if you actually did the census anew right now, you would have 10 additional Republican seats and 9 fewer Democrat seats. And really what we're living with, Maria, is the consequence of 40 years of institutional control in the Democratic Party. These guys have fought very dirty for a very long time. And they haven't just won elections and enacted laws that we may not agree with. They have tried to rig the game for Democrats and against Republicans. And thankfully, under President Trump's leadership, you finally see some spine. You finally see some backbone in the Republican Party to fight back against these very aggressive Democratic dirty tricks. But the only way for us to do it is to actually go and do the hard work to reset the scales a little bit. What we want to do is redo the census, but importantly, we want to redistrict some of these red states. And we want to make the congressional apportionment fair in this country. Again, you cannot do it unless Republicans actually take some very decisive action in the months to come. We think they will, and we're obviously supporting them every step of the way.
Vice President J.D. Vance talking to Maria Bartiromo over the weekend on Sunday Morning Futures. Sandy Rios with you. You know, I remember when I was a kid, the census was kind of exciting. It happened every 10 years, and so that's not very often. It's kind of like an eclipse. And everybody was enthused, and everybody cooperated. But somehow, we've gone off the rails on the census. And you heard J.D. talk for a second there, Vice President Vance, about the 2020 census. So I've asked Hans von Spakovsky to join me today because Hans covered that 2020 census. How are you? Remember that. We talked about it often. And so I want him to talk about what went off the rails with that census, and also, is there any justification to have a new census? Hans is the senior legal fellow and also the manager for the Election Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. He's all things election. He was on the U.S. Election Commission for several years. He's had so much experience with this. And so, Hans, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me back, Sandy.
All right. So, okay, I'm going to ask you some general questions before we get to 2020.
Right.
You know, there are lots of private initiatives that you and I both know about that are trying to achieve voter integrity. Lots of great, really, citizen efforts and even expert efforts. And I think they've exposed and given a lot of information to set the groundwork for doing something significant. But my question is, do you think President Trump's administration are doing enough? Are they following up on those things? And are you concerned that we are not getting the election integrity that we've been working on for so long?
Oh, no. Donald Trump and his administration are doing more positive things and less negative things than any administration I can remember. And I'll give you just two quick examples of this. The first thing they did when they came in was the Justice Department dismissed all of these ridiculous, frivolous, meritless lawsuits that have been filed by the Biden Justice Department. For example, the Justice Department had filed suit against Georgia back when, in 2021, Georgia passed a whole bunch of election reforms, things like extending their voter ID requirement to absentee ballots, the Justice Department had sued over that, saying that, oh, all these reforms were discriminatory. The Trump administration threw out and dismissed the lawsuit. Another quick example, you'll recall, Sandy, that shortly before last year's election, the Justice Department filed suit against Alabama, Virginia, for doing what? Taking aliens that they had found illegally registered off the voter rolls. And the Justice Department sued saying, oh, yeah, you can't do that. You can't take them off the rolls. First thing the Justice Department and Trump did is when they tossed those out. Now, the other thing on the positive side they've been doing is, one, they have been going after and are demanding the voter rolls of particularly troublesome jurisdictions, for example, in Wisconsin and in California, because they want to check those rolls against government databases to, for example, find people who are not U.S. citizens. And in friendlier states, red states, where those states actually would like to have their own access to federal government databases, they have completely revamped and made available to states the alien databases at the Department of Homeland Security. The Biden administration blocked all access to that database to the point where also shortly before last year's election, Texas and Florida sued the Biden administration saying, hey, legally, we're supposed to have access to your alien databases so we can check our voter rolls and find people who aren't U.S. citizens, and you're not giving us access. So, you know, they've been doing very positive things.
Well, that's very encouraging. I'm really not surprised. I mean, it seems like they're covering all the bases. It's quite amazing to watch it unfold. But, Americans are really eager, as you know, Hans, to get this stuff sorted out. And we have another, a midterm coming up. And so let's then now talk about the census, because the census is key to how elections are run. What was wrong with that 2020 election? Is it 2020 census? And in it, the second question, of course, is, do the problems warrant a calling for a new census?
The answer to that is yes. In 2022, the U.S. Census Bureau put out a big, long report in which they admitted, based on post-census research and surveys they had done, that they had made serious errors in the 2020 census. As a result of those errors, they had overcounted 8 states, all of them blue states with the exception of Utah, and the overpopulation mistakes ranged from a low of about 1.5% to almost 7%, those are very large numbers. They also said, well, we overcounted 8 states, but we undercounted 6 states, all of them red states, again, with one exception, and the undercount there ranged from about 2% to a little over 5%. That undercount was so big that in Texas, they missed almost 600,000 people.
Wow.
In Florida, they missed 750,000 people. And because of the undercount and overcount, when they did apportionment, right, when they figured out based on the state's population how many members of the U.S. House each state in the U.S. should have, Texas was cheated out of an additional congressional seat they should have had. Florida was cheated out of 2 additional seats they should have had. And Rhode Island, for example, retained a seat they shouldn't have. So it had a huge effect, not only in who sits in the U.S. House, but obviously also in the Electoral College.
Hans, doesn't it also affect like monies that are given from the federal government,
yes,
money for this and that, and how much a district gets. Yeah, so it's that too.
That's right. Many federal programs, when they distribute money to the states, the money is based on the population of the state. So places like Texas and Florida, who are undercounted, don't get all the money they should, and states like New York, Massachusetts, which were overcounted, get more money than they should have.
You know, this is just an anecdotal memory, just a nuts and bolts thing. I think I remember that maybe it was the 2020 census, maybe it was the 2010, where lots of really they would pick quality people to go out and knock door to door. This was a really honorable thing to do. And it was citizens in good faith going, and I'm sure there was, you know, they made sure there were citizens in good faith. But the last census I remember, again, I'm not sure it was 10 or 20, they actually hired people of, I can't remember. I just remember being very upset about it, whether it was union workers or unemployed people, or it just wasn't the same quality of people that we've had in the past. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there were a lot of, quite frankly, politically left-wing organizations that were hired by the Census Bureau, all of which had an incentive to, frankly, make mistakes such as overcounting the number of individuals in particular areas because they knew it would help them both politically and money-wise. So I think there were a lot of very questionable people hired. Look, Census Bureau gives all kinds of reasons in their long report for why there was such a huge error, something had never really happened before that we know of. Whatever the reasons, they were significant errors that should not have occurred.
Now, one huge thing to me, Hans, is because I've heard the breakdown here of so many states, I think of my home state of Illinois, who just seems desperately lost and cannot come back. And when I was growing up there, it was a strong, believe it or not, Republican state. We had great politicians. It was a really good time, very prosperous. But now it's like hopelessly left. I'll say that, not just Democratic, but hopelessly left. And really, really great people there can't pull out. Even in Chicago, there's people who are conservative who have awakened to the mess in our country, but they can't get any traction. And part of it is the census, and because that affects the districts, and also affects, you know, how many people go to Congress to represent them, and the Electoral College, which we haven't talked about. So explain that, how this affects the Electoral College.
Well, the number of Electoral College votes each state has is a total of your two senators plus however many members of the U.S. House you have. So when I mentioned the fact that Texas, except for these mistakes, should have gotten an extra seat, Florida should have gotten two extra seats, that meant that in last year's election, President Trump should have gotten at least three more Electoral College votes. Actually, he should have gotten four more, because remember, Rhode Island retained a seat it shouldn't have. In essence, the president won more Electoral College votes than the official records will ever show because of these mistakes.
Well, of course, he's taking a hit because the headlines are all that he wants. He is determined not to count illegal immigrants, which is what the 2020 census and perhaps some others in the past have done too. But I'm really curious, Hans, I don't remember, this was not an issue in the past because we didn't have so many illegal immigrants, but when did the census start actually counting illegal immigrants?
Well, we have always, actually the first president to recommend that we ask a citizenship question on the census was Thomas Jefferson. And there was a question consistently on every census since, I think, 1820, asking whoever's filling out the form, are you a U.S. citizen? And we weren't even concerned about whether they were illegally here or legally here, because the whole point is that I don't care whether you're here legally or illegally. You should not be included in apportionment if you're an alien. It should only be according to citizen population, because only citizens can vote and participate in our democratic process. The citizenship question was removed during, doesn't surprise you, 2010 census, when Barack Obama was in charge.
Ah, yes.
And that's when they decided to take it off.
You know what? I should pivot here because I have this great quote. I bet you saw this, but if you didn't, you'll want to see it. To kind of sort of pivot to the gerrymandering controversy that's happening right now.
Right.
And we could talk about what it is in a second. But let me, because we're talking about Barack Obama, this is Larry Elder posted this, Hans. He says, this is a statement, a quote of Barack Obama in 2001. The system of redistricting in the U.S. tends to allow representatives to choose people instead of people choosing representatives. It's just politics. But then in 2024, this is what Barack Obama said. Texas GOP redistricting plan is a power grab that undermines our democracy. So that's Barack Obama in 2024. And then one last thing about him. ProPublica reported, Hans, that Obama used gerrymandering to propel himself in a Chicago district, they gerrymandered a district to include rich supporters. And that's part of the reason why he got elected the first time. Anyway, that's Barack Obama, who's done a lot of harm to this country. But gerrymandering is constitutional. That's interesting to me. Kind of give us the history of it, if you could, Hans, and I know you can.
Well, I first to say, what a hypocrite.
Yeah, really.
Barack Obama is another Democrat, because they are experts at gerrymandering. The word gerrymander comes from the first time that happened was in 1812 in Massachusetts, when the governor of Massachusetts, Eldridge Gerry, approved a district that looked like a salamander. And so they combined his last name, Gerry, with the last part of salamander, and that's where we get the word gerrymandering. And that has been going on, like I said, since at least 1812. And I was particularly struck by the fact that I think some of those Texas Democratic legislators, many of them fled to Chicago. I think some of them went to Boston. And so they were decrying gerrymandering going on in Texas. Gerrymandering started in Massachusetts, and it hasn't stopped. Last year, about 35% of the statewide vote in Massachusetts was Republican for Donald Trump. Yet out of 9 congressional seats in Massachusetts, there's a 0 Republicans elected. So they are still gerrymandering in Massachusetts where it started.
And so they're doing that in most of the blue states. And as I understand it, let me play this quick statement by J.D. Vance with Maria Bartiromo on Sunday, because he kind of sums it up pretty well. This is clip 15.
There's just not a whole lot of juice left out of that lemon. The Democrats have already gone as far as they possibly can. Let me give you a crazy statistic. So I believe that it's in New Jersey, Illinois, New York, California, and there's one other Democrat state where you take those 5 states, you have a large number of Democrat representatives. But here's the crazy statistic. President Trump won 43% of those 5 states. And Democrats have something like 85% of the representatives out of those states. You cannot gerrymander these far left states anymore. And that's the whole point. We have unilaterally disarmed in the Republican Party. We have said to the Democrats, if you want to rig the game in your favor in blue states, go ahead. We're going to do nothing to fight back against it. That's crazy. It makes it harder for us to pass our agenda. It makes it harder for us to win elections. And most importantly, it gives Democrats this ability to run roughshod over the country without any pushback from the American people. The democratic system in this country is broken because who you vote for doesn't necessarily get reflected in who your representatives are. We're just trying to rebalance the scales and frankly push back against a very unfair system created by the Democrats.
So Hans, in gerrymandering, the idea is to reconfigure a district to the advantage of the party that's in charge. Is that simple enough? Okay. So, it's gone to court many, many times, has it not? And the courts have always kind of stood behind the gerrymanderers?
Well, with some exceptions. What happened on that issue is, just a couple of years ago, the Democratic Party took a case, I think out of Wisconsin, all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, claiming that political gerrymandering was unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court said, nope, it's not unconstitutional, and in any way, this is a political question we're not going to get into. So then some folks in a couple of states went to court claiming political gerrymandering was unconstitutional under their state constitutions. And they were successful in one or two states, Maryland being one, but they were unsuccessful in other states that said, no, political gerrymandering is also okay under our state constitution. So in essence, it kind of depends on where you are, but certainly under the U.S. Constitution, political gerrymandering is perfectly okay. What's not okay is racial gerrymandering. And that's something that Democrats have pushed for a long time. They continue to push it today. They want congressional and other districts drawn along racial lines because they think it gives them a political advantage. That is unconstitutional.
That's interesting. Well, we mentioned Texas, but I didn't really explain that the Texas legislature was considering the issue of gerrymandering, and there's more to this, and I'm going to make it simple. The Democrats, I don't know if they all skipped town. Did they all go? Do you know?
I'm not sure all of them left, but I think enough of them left so that they can't put together a quorum in either the Texas House or the Texas Senate. It takes two-thirds of the legislators to be there to form a quorum before they can do business.
Okay. So they're still gone, and it's been a week more than a week.
Yeah.
They went to Illinois, which is gerrymandered like crazy. Now many of them are in California being pumped up by Gavin Newsom. Actually, I should play this clip. This is a report from KTVU.
Census data is used for many purposes, including redistricting and allocation of federal funds. The Latino Community Foundation released a statement saying any attempt to change the purpose of the census is unconstitutional, undermines our democracy, and threatens political representation, as well as vital resources for education, healthcare, and more.
It's not the thing that we want. It's not the thing you want to see in a democracy. But Texas started this fight, and I think it's good that California is taking it seriously.
The proposed census change comes on the backdrop of a redistricting fight between Texas and California. Despite many Texas Democrats remaining out of state, a state Senate committee approved a new map helping Republicans pick up seats.
Should the FBI get involved?
Well, they may have to. They may have to.
Senator John Cornyn announced Thursday the FBI approved his request for help in finding the Texas House Democrats who left the state in protest of a vote on the new map. Plans to counter are moving forward in Sacramento. Democratic lawmakers recently briefed by the UCLA Voting Rights Project on how lines could be drawn legally to help their party in California.
You could create many more minority opportunity districts, in particular for Asian Americans and Latinos, the two largest minority groups, while still achieving the governor's objective of creating more Democratic seats.
The co-founder of the project, Matt Barreto, believes efforts in both states will face legal challenges. Governor Newsom leading the charge, not backing down from the standoff.
The idea that the President of the United States says he's entitled to five seats should sicken everybody. There's nothing normal about that, and anyone who says it's not surprising is normalizing it. That's shocking.
Greg Lee, KTVU, Fox 2 News.
Okay, well, there's a lot of things to talk about in that. Speaking of gerrymandering for racial purposes, there you go, Hans. They just spelled it out. That's part of
right.
That. You say in the law that's illegal, right?
Yeah, if race is the primary factor you are using to draw boundary lines, you are violating the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. That's the one person, one vote standard. And the U.S. Supreme Court has said you cannot do that. But look, what's gotten lost in all this rhetoric about Texas is that Texas didn't just suddenly say, oh, let's redistrict. The reason Texas is doing this is because of a change in the law governing Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. And what I'm talking about is that back in 2021, when Texas redrew all its congressional lines after the census, they created, at the behest of Democrats, four districts that would elect Democrats that are called coalition districts. And what they were talking about there is these are not districts in which one racial group, like black voters, are a majority. Those are protected under the Voting Rights Act. These are districts in which there weren't enough black voters, there weren't enough Hispanic voters to be a majority. So they created a coalition district. They put two different groups of minority voters in them, for example, blacks and Hispanics, because together they can supposedly control that district. Well, last year, in a case out of Galveston County, the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals said those kind of coalition districts, they're not protected under the Voting Rights Act because those are political alliances. Those are not racial alliances for voting purposes. And therefore, those kind of coalition districts, if race is what was used to draw them up, they're unconstitutional gerrymanders. So the Justice Department in July sent a letter to Texas saying, hey, look at this Court of Appeals decision from last year. Four of your districts are illegal racial gerrymanders. You have to fix this. I haven't seen that mentioned in almost a single story about what's going on in Texas. Everybody just ignores that.
Right. It's like the Republicans are trying to, the spin, of course, is that the Republicans are trying to use
right.
this terrible, awful, no good gerrymandering, which the left uses all the time, to take more Republican seats and control. But, all right, so here's the other part of the question for me on this. This is confusing, Hans. I know this is state law, probably, but these Texas legislators have, you know, they've left. They won't, they're refusing to do their job in the state of Texas. So legal action has been taken by the governor, and I'll get to Ken Paxton's lawsuit in a second, but the governor has said he's going to remove them from office. What's the status of that? Do you know?
Yeah, what happened was back in 2021 was the last time Democrats actually fled the state to avoid a quorum. That time it was to avoid voting on an election reform bill, like we had previously talked about. So the Texas legislature put in a provision to say that if you left the state, you could not only be arrested, but you could have fines imposed on you of $500 a day. Additionally, there is a statute. There's a statute in Texas that provides for the replacement of a legislator who has abandoned his office. For that to apply, the attorney general has got to go to court and apply to a court and ask that the judge determine whether or not that legislator has abandoned his office. And if the judge says, yep, they have, yeah, then that legislator can be replaced. But the governor can't just simply declare the office vacant.
Okay, so that's why he's saying what he's saying, though. I was wondering on what basis. Okay, so I'm guessing they're moving to do that because you know how Ken Paxton is, and I and the governor's become very outspoken on this issue, too. Now you have this other thing. You've got Beto O'Rourke, you know, Beto, the Anglo-Bago, Beto,
right?
Pretending to be Hispanic. You've got him raising money to support these legislators who are out of town. And then there's talk of Pritzker supporting them, putting them up in luxury accommodations. And Paxton is saying this is illegal, so he's suing Beto O'Rourke. Now, what's down with that?
That is under a provision of the Texas Penal Code that prohibits and bans bribery of government officials, including legislators. And if you look at the language of that law, which I have, it's pretty broad. If you provide any kind of benefit to a legislator to get them to vote a particular way or to get them to not vote, you have violated that criminal provision of the law. And Beto O'Rourke is, what is he doing? He's clearly paying for their room and keep in order to prevent them from engaging in a vote. So under that statute, I actually think Ken Paxton's got a pretty good case against him.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I'm going to let's hear from the other side for a second, because Senator Alex Padilla, I'm going to be very unprofessional and say I've never heard of Alex Padilla until he crashed a Tulsi Gabbard's press conference. But he is like, I don't know where these people come from, Hans, but they talk the same. They say the same nonsense, and they're really good at it. So he's good at it, too. Let's listen. This is clip 17, Alex Padilla.
The stakes are just so high with what this administration is trying to do beyond the limits of their power. And there's no longer a check and balance, right? Congress is a co-equal branch of government. The Republican majority in both the House and the Senate is negligent in their responsibility of providing the oversight and accountability to this administration. That's why the administration has lost so many court cases, and either they're appealing or disregarding those rulings. And so unless or until Republicans in Congress stand up, we have to do everything we can. I mean, we're in the minority right now, using every legislative and procedural lever we can. God bless the Democrats in the Texas legislature for going through those extreme steps of breaking quorum to keep the redistricting effort from happening. But in communities across the country, we know there's organizing happening and preparations for the midterm election. So everybody's trying to do their part.
One thing he's echoing there is something that we're hearing from a lot of Republican office holders, and that is our political pundits, whatever it takes, to heck with the rules. We have to win. This is war. That's what they're saying, actually, Hans.
They're implementing a Cold War. And what they're doing is saying that they don't care about the rule of law. And it's that kind of thing that also is helping to foment the kind of violence we are seeing across the country. For example, when ICE agents are simply trying to enforce federal immigration law. And most of what he just said didn't make any sense at all. I mean, for example, his claiming that President Trump and them are disregarding court rulings. He cannot point to a single court ruling that the president has disregarded. He's upset because, for example, the U.S. Supreme Court in the past 2 months has unfortunately been forced to issue stay after stay after stay of unlawful decisions by lower court judges, mostly Biden and Obama appointees. So the people who are not interested in abiding by the rule of law apparently is the political left, and unfortunately that's no surprise.
Okay, practical question just to end with here, Hans. If we do another census, which I think we're going to do another census based on President Trump's statements, can they really gear up and get this done before the midterms? Is that possible?
No, I don't think so. I think if they started right now, I think they could get everything in place to get a census done next year, so that it would be in place for the 2028 election. I'm not sure they could get it done in time for next year's election, but I definitely think it could be in time for the next presidential election and congressional election.
Well, as you and I both know, you better than I, Hans, the Democrats have been infecting our elections in every way, and they've done it through law, they've done it through procedure. They have been a lawless bunch, and in some cases they have just passed rules and laws that Republicans didn't push back on. And it's a combination of that and illegal actions that's caused us to get into the position we're in. So we're trying to correct course, meaning Americans in good faith who want law and order and believe in the Constitution. We're trying to get it back on course. And thank God for President Trump for kind of being the cheerleader for all of this and more. So have I left anything out, Hans, that we need to talk about that you could think of?
No, I think you did a great job covering the issue.
Okay. Well, then, thank you, Hans von Spakovsky. It's great to talk to you and always to just be the beneficiary of your expertise. Oh, by the way, Hans has a new podcast, so you can hear he talks about so many things. It's not just elections. He's an expert on all kinds of things. And the name of the podcast is Case in Point, right?
Yep, that's right. And I just literally finished doing an interview with Senator Eric Schmidt, former Attorney General of Missouri, which should get released next week.
So there you go. Case in point, added to your list of things, great things to listen to, and I will too. Hans, thank you. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
And the FDA finally approved the French abortion pill, and again, it was two pills. They okayed the first one, mifepristone, for chemical abortions up to 7 weeks. Later, that was extended to 10 weeks under Barack Obama. And then under Joe Biden, they opened the door to the FDA approving of mifepristone prescriptions online, through the mail, and without any kind of supervision. And the Supreme Court upheld that unanimous ruling just in 2024. It really is despicable. I'm telling you, it is despicable, given the number of injuries, 10% or so of women who have these chemical abortions, not to mention the loss of life, the trauma of delivering at home. It is a disgraceful thing that our country has done. But Preborn is trying to provide a redemptive way to stop it. They have a pill that can actually reverse that first pill, and the first one is mifepristone. So if a mother has second thoughts when she takes that first pill, if she gets to a preborn clinic, they can stop that. But if she takes the second pill, which expels the baby, it's too late. And that's why we're trying to educate women, not educate. I hate that. Just really too sterile. We're trying to move their hearts by showing them their baby in utero through ultrasound. That's what preborn does. That's the emotional trigger, which is genuine and real from the heart of God. That's a baby. And when women see that, they don't take these abortion pills. It stops it before it begins. But both things have to be addressed, and that's what preborn does. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And please make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Your governor has said that, look, if you redraw Texas, we'll do the same here. We'll dramatically increase potentially the number of Democratic seats. Talk to us about just how precarious political moment this seems to be for everybody.
Right. No, and I guess precarious is a very good word. So let's actually put this into a bigger context, because it's not just about redistricting. And, you know, ideal scenario, Texas just stands down and this doesn't go beyond that. How bad must it be? How bad must Trump and Republicans in Congress feel about their chances next November, right? You usually run on a legislative record of accomplishment, but their accomplishments have been, what, giving tax breaks to billionaires, cutting health care, you know, trying to destroy federal government as we know it, that their only chance of holding on to power in the midterms is to rig the election. The redistricting is just one piece. If you look at Trump's executive orders, if you look at legislation that Republicans have tried to push through Congress to make it harder for people registered to vote, to stay on the rolls, to cast their ballot. And then you couple that with what the Department of Justice is doing, trying to demand personal information of all voters in states across the country as a pretext for their voter purging. I mean, it's a perfect storm of rigging next November's election. So it's not just a redistricting fight in isolation. It's part of this desperate, hold on power.
Sure it is, Senator Padilla. It's a way to cheat on the midterms by, legally gerrymandering. And also Texas has to gerrymander because of what Hans explained through the law that they had passed a couple of years ago. They have to do it because the districts that they were formed were already racially gerrymandered. And you can't do that. It can't be racial. You can't find a group of black folk and create a district so that they'll vote for Democrats or Hispanics. That's the way it's been going. And so I want to make a point, though. That's Alex Padilla, Senator Alex Padilla. Remember that he's the one who charged Tulsi Gabbard in a press conference and then got in a fight, a tussle, and claimed how he had been hurt. He's the biggest baby I've ever seen in my life. And I want to make a point. I think part of this may be a stretch to some of you, but I think this is a contributing factor. When you start gerrymandering, and you also include illegal immigrants in your census, then you also set up a system where when they register to vote, they sign up to register for their driver's license. They can be registered to vote, and no one ever checks it. And you make it illegal for states who are trying to do integrity searches in the voter base to use those rolls to check to see if they're actually citizens. You come up with, from my perspective, a group of people like I'm going to describe to you now, congressmen elected from some of those districts where people don't care about this country. They don't care. Their loyalty is not to this country. Their loyalty is not to our system of government. Their loyalty is not to America. And I'll make my case. I'll just point out one person. This is a woman from Chicago. Her name is she's Congressman Delia Ramirez. Remember, Chicago, Illinois. Now, I haven't checked her district. I have no idea if it's gerrymandered. But I will make the point that Illinois is one of the most gerrymandered states in the union. So it'll be interesting to find out if Delia Ramirez came from a gerrymandered district. And I'm asking that because she went to a socialist meeting, and I'm going to describe it to you in just a second. But the statement that she made out of this country, down in Mexico, I believe it was at another time and another place in this country, this would be the stuff of impeachment, of removal from office. And this is what she said in Spanish to this audience. I'm a proud Guatemalan before I'm an American. And then she accused the U.S. of prioritizing imperialism, militarization, conquest, control, competition in its attempt at domination. On her website, Ramirez, the child of immigrant parents, said her husband is in the country illegally. And she's the only congressional lawmaker in mixed-status marriage and fights for the rights of dreamers like her husband Boris for comprehensive immigration reform. Who is she loyal to? She just told us. She's a proud Guatemalan before she's an American. She should never, never have been elected to office. Then I want to bring to your mind some other characters who match that description. This was the Pan-American Congress where the Squad and others went, and which just happened a couple of weeks ago, and it's people from North and South America. So Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Summer Lee of Pennsylvania, and Jesus Gilberto Garcia, and Delia Ramirez of Illinois. I guess Jesus is from Illinois also. Aren't we lucky to have these people? Because I want to read to you what this conference was all about. Let's see. The speakers also, I can't imagine who this would be, maybe Rashida Tlaib, I do believe, voiced their views on the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas. Mauricio Jaramillo Yasir, who is Colombia's deputy minister. Colombia's just gone completely communist, by the way. And, of course, he was there. Colombia's deputy minister of multilateral affairs praised Tlaib, praised her, called her a symbol of resistance, and that caused her to get a standing ovation. The summit was organized by the leader of Progressive International. Progressive, of course, is just really a code word for communist leftist, radical Marxist. the leader of Progressive International, a radical left-wing group that describes capitalism as a virus that must be eradicated, in partnership with Moreno, Mexican's ruling left-wing party, a.k.a. communist. Here's the deal. They described, this group described the United States as the linchpin of that imperial violence, a position it has carefully built over two centuries. And then they say, U.S. militarism sustains profound political tensions around the world. Its interventions have destroyed nation after nation, leaving a trail of violence and sorrow in their wake. Ending U.S. militarism means saving lives. But who's at that conference? Oh, the squad. Oh, the proud Guatemalan who loves her country more than she does. Oh, no, Guatemala's not her country. America's her country. But she loves Guatemala more than she loves America, and she bragged about it in Spanish to that group and then called out the United States for its imperialism, militarization, conquest. Look, I would be all in favor, and I hope we do get to that place where these people never, ever stand in the well of Congress. If they cannot have a loyalty to this country, to its system of government, and they find joy in going to other foreign lands and criticizing their country in this way, they shouldn't be there. I'm sorry. You should love this country. You should be loyal to it to be a congressman for the United States or a senator. And we're getting more and more of these types serving in our House. And I wonder if it's not related to gerrymandering. I'm just wondering. Somebody should look into that, don't you think? Well, all right. It's Sandy Rios. So, and I'm finished for today, but I do hope you enjoyed this or at least learned something from it. And I want to thank, as always, our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.